Today's Issues continues on AFR.
And welcome back. Fred Jackson here, along with Dr. Ray Pritchard and Steve Jordahl. As we wrap up our time together here in today's issues, I want to remind you that Tim and Ed and our producer, Brent, will all be working on Friday. You're going to be working Tuesday.
I'm going to be working Friday, too, but not on Trivia Friday.
Yes.
Unless you want me to, Brent.
Trivia Friday will be here live. I don't know if those folks are planning to go to shop early on Black Friday, but they will be here to have some fun on Trivia Friday. And some fun is a good idea. I think we can all take a little break from the political atmosphere and everything else that's going on in the world and kind of sit back. We hope you all do that. And tomorrow is Thanksgiving Day. We still have much to be thankful for, folks.
Indeed.
And let's not forget that at all. But in the meantime, we are getting ever closer to first the caucuses in Iowa and then into the primaries. And Steve, we have a guest from Iowa with some breaking news from there today.
We do. Bob Vanderplatz, who's head of the family leader there. And at some point, maybe not today, but I'm going to ask him why they use one small lowercase letter in that name when they publish it. But anyway, Bob Vanderplatz is here with us, and he's made an endorsement for president. Hey, Bob, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Really enjoy being on with you guys right before Thanksgiving.
So, Bob, I understand that you have decided who you're going to support for president of the United States come 2024. Tell us.
Well, Steve, it's kind of familiar territory for me. In 2008, when I endorsed Mike Huckabee, all the pundits said he was going to get crushed by Mitt Romney. And in 2012, I endorsed Rick Santorum, and the pundits said he'd get crushed as well. And in 2016, when I endorsed Cruz, they said he'd get crushed by Trump. And so last night, I went out and I endorsed Governor Ron DeSantis because I believe he's the best candidate to win. I think he's proven that. He's the best candidate to lead on day one instead of being a lame duck on day one. And so we'll see what happens now in the state of Iowa, but I think Ron DeSantis has a good shot to carry the state of Iowa and to give America a real choice who they want to be their nominee for president.
That would be some good headwinds for him. Iowa is the first caucus, and but DeSantis is everybody. The whole field trails Trump by a huge margin. Do you think they can make that up?
You know, I really do. First of all, you know, I don't believe the polls. I think everybody knows Trump. Matter of fact, in the last Iowa poll when Trump was at 43%, you know, that's a good number. But he's the former president of that party in an Iowa caucus, and you're well below 50%. Yeah. So I think Trump's high water mark is going to be somewhere around 35 to 37. That means there's going to be 63 to 65%. They're open to considering somebody else or going to vote for somebody else. I think it gives a great opportunity, say, for a Governor DeSantis to coalesce that and to upend the former president in the first of the nation state.
Yeah, Fred?
Now, we understand the governor has moved a lot of his team into Iowa. So Governor DeSantis is banking on a pretty good turnout for the caucuses there. But also, you're already seeing reaction because your governor has also endorsed Governor DeSantis. So what kind of impact does that have? Your endorsement, the governor's endorsement? Are we going to see a real verbal battle over the next couple of weeks leading up to your caucus, which I think is January 15th? Have I got that right?
Yeah, it is January 15th. And the initial impact is two votes. Governor Reynolds gets a vote. I get a vote. Mm-hmm. What we're going to try to do, though, is really influence our constituencies in the state of Iowa. Obviously, Governor Reynolds has the entire state. We work a lot with the evangelical community. We're a faith-based ministry. And just trying to make the case about why 2024 is so important, why it's important that we choose well. And this is not a vote against Donald Trump. This is a vote for the future of the country. So the way I sized it up is, I think Donald Trump can win the nomination. I just don't believe there's any way in the world he wins the general election.
Right.
I think Nikki Haley could win the general election, but I don't think she could win the nomination. I think Governor DeSantis can win the nomination and the general election.
Ray?
Bob, as you travel around the country, and I mean, I'm sorry, around the state of Iowa, you're in touch with the grassroots as much as anybody could be. What are the issues that Republican caucus goers are going to care about when January the 15th rolls around?
You know, I think first and foremost, I mean, this is probably different in 2024 cycle than previous cycles. But the one thing they're really thinking about is who can win in 2024. Because what they're seeing with Biden and his administration, first of all, we don't believe Biden will be the nominee, but it's completely an un-American agenda. So they know we need to win in 2024. So winning's at the top of their list. But then they want a bold and courageous leader who will stand up for religious liberty, the sanctity of human life, as well as pushing back on this woke agenda and making sure that we embrace parental rights. That's what we're hearing more and more. They're seeing an America that does not represent the red, white, and blue that we've come to know.
Hey, Bob, before we let you go, Donald Trump has been very vocal. He's always been vocal. 2016, he had the nicknames, he had everything. But it seems like he's even gone farther during this campaign. Do you see him as the same candidate that we had? Would he be the same president that we had in 2016 if he was elected in 2024?
Yeah, it's a really good question, Steve. And first of all, I'd say absolutely not. I don't think he's the same guy at all. I think he's motivated by a vindictive spirit. He wants to settle a score with everybody. And that's why you see him taking on me right now. You see him taking on Governor Reynolds. Everything's about I want to fight and I have a vindictive spirit. And so that's one thing. But two is people need to realize when he gets to be president, if he were to win the general election, he's lame duck on day one. But the other part is you need to be able to surround yourself with the best and brightest people. You tell me who's going to go work for Donald Trump today. They've all been, all the ones who have worked for him have been sued into financial distress or ruin. He has shown no propensity to have their back. So I don't see who he's going to be able to bring with him into an administration. And I believe where America's at today, you need a candidate who has led, like Governor DeSantis has, in the state of Florida with a bold and courageous spirit, but who can serve for two terms, not be a lame duck on day one.
All right. Bob, thanks for joining us. I appreciate it. Bob Vanderplaats, where can people check out The Family Leader and see what you guys are doing there?
Oh, thefamilyleader.com, thefamilyleader.com.
All right. Bob Vanderplaats joining us today. Thanks, Bob.
Well, I tell you what, it is going to be interesting to see, and Bob has had a very good record of picking winners there in Iowa. Things change when we move on to the primaries. The record has shown that also. But Ray, I think I've not seen in the last 25 years, and perhaps even longer than that, such a divide, political divide in the country, not only between the Democratic Party and the Republicans, but within the Democratic Party, there is a great divide, and we're seeing it in the Republican Party as well. Yes, I know that the former president in the Republican Party, he has a substantial lead in most of the polls, but there still is that divide as we head into an election year, and I'm not sure how it's going to get resolved.
I can't think of a time in my lifetime when the two parties are as far apart in terms of their vision for what America ought to be going forward. You've got the woke, you've got the anti-woke, you got the CRT and the anti-CRT. You've got traditional values versus people who want to transform America away from what it always has been into a top-down, completely controlled by Washington viewpoint. And I'm thinking about on the Democrat side, Joe Biden is so vulnerable. Isn't it interesting? Bob just said, we don't think Biden is going to be the nominee. I wish we'd had time to ask him, you know, who is it going to be? Is it possible that the big debate next week between Ron DeSantis and Gavin Newsom, could that be a preview? An early preview of what we're going to see next fall. What And one thing you can say about Ron DeSantis and Gavin Newsom, they're both very good communicators, very different personalities, and completely different visions of what America should be going forward. That debate is going to be hot next week. They're going to mix it up, guys. That's going to be a Donnybrook, a two-man. By the way, where is this debate taking place anyway?
I don't know.
Is it in Georgia?
I will look.
I know Sean Hannity is moderating it. So I think Sean Hannity, most people know him. He's very conservative, but I think he kind of has invited this.
Uh-huh.
And I think it is a great opportunity. You talk about two politicians on the far, far left and right, I would say, and right. their views, as you say, Ray, of the country and where the country needs to be.
Alpharetta, Georgia.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. Just outside of Atlanta. So very interesting. That'll be next Thursday evening. And it'll be a good preview of the kind of battle that we're going to see over the next year leading up to Election Day.
I got to tell you, both parties are in distress right now. There is a ton of time between now and November 2024. There's always some kind of October surprise that comes up.
Yes.
Polls, you know, a year out usually don't mean a whole lot. This is going to be by far the most interesting election that I can possibly imagine.
Yep. So strap in, folks, and get ready, but take a rest. Thanksgiving and Christmas time, take a rest from it because you're going to need it. All right, Steve, very important anniversary today.
Yeah, 60 years ago today in Dallas, Texas, President Kennedy was assassinated at the 60th anniversary of that. And I wanted to just take a second to remember that. And let's listen a little bit to what what's the guy, CBS... I didn't write it down.
CBS reporter?
Yeah, Walter Cronkite. That's who I'm thinking of.
Cronkite, how could you forget?
I don't know. Wow. Uncle Walter.
Walter!
Let's have a listen to what Uncle Walter had to say on that day, Cut 9.
Here is a bulletin from CBS News. In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting. From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, some 38 minutes ago. Vice President Lyndon Johnson has left the hospital in Dallas, but we do not know to where he has proceeded. Presumably, he will be taking the oath of office shortly and become the 36th president of the United States.
Walter, having a hard time keeping it together there a little bit.
I remember I've seen the news reels of the video of that, and he was shaken. The whole country, Ray, was shaken. I was a little boy when that happened, but living in Canada. But I remember my mom explaining to me what had gone on. But the ramifications coming out of that, what it has done. One of the thoughts that I have, Ray, get your comments on this. If John F. Kennedy was running for president today, and this speaks to his character, I don't think he'd be welcome in the Democratic Party.
He was what we used to call a conservative Democrat when there was a relatively conservative branch of the Democrat movement. 60 years ago today, you have to be a certain age to be able to say what I'm going to say, but I remember only there have only been 2 days in 71 years on planet Earth where I can actually say I remember the moment. One was November the 22nd, 1963, and the other was 9/11, and nothing before, nothing else. Those two sort of, from my generation, older baby boomers, bracket a lifetime. I was in the fifth grade I can see it. I'm pointing in the air, folks. I can see it. It's the corner classroom. Mrs. Witt was our homeroom teacher. Mm. It was just another day, just another day. And about 12:45, Mr. Kendig, our principal, came in, walked into the room, interrupted the class, which never happened, and said four words. They shot the president. The world changed with those four words. It was the end of the age of innocence in America. It was the beginning of the turmoil and the upheaval and societal change. And later, Martin Luther King Jr., later Robert F. Kennedy, the president's younger brother. No death of any one individual has ever marked a generation, my generation, like what happened 60 years ago today. And I was thinking also, it's hard to remember. All we had back then were little black and white TVs.
Yeah.
If you had a 12-inch or 13-inch screen, it was big. And I remember, just as a fifth grader, watching the black and white images from Dallas, and then the shocking events, the shooting of Lee Harvey Oswald, and then the funeral procession down Washington, D.C., that way before CNN, way before Fox News, you basically had three channels plus PBS, and that's all you could watch. And for 4 days, changed America. It has never, whatever America was before November the 22nd, 1963, it's never gone back, and I don't think it ever will.
Yeah, it was a dividing point. Camelot died, they say. His legacy will obviously be the moon landing, I think, was probably what he's going to be most remembered for as a result of his presidency, although it happened long after he was gone. But he was in favor of tax cuts. He might be a garden variety Republican these days.
Oh, I think so. You know, isn't it interesting? We're talking about the upcoming election and Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Yeah.
is going to be on a ballot somewhere.
Right.
And,
right.
And he is being treated by the current Democratic Party as an outsider.
Right. Persona non grata. They want nothing to do with him.
Isn't that amazing?
Just a last thought on this. I read a report this morning on this anniversary. They said that a vast majority of the people of the United States took what the Warren Commission found, which was Lee Harvey Oswald acting alone, shot the president of the United States. And they believed that. There was no, very few people doubted that. But in the years since, speaking to where our culture has gone with regard to conspiracy theories and everything, a lot fewer people now believe that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. There's a lot more theories out there, some of them wacky, but that, you know, we've become a very jaded population right now.
Yeah. All right. One more story before we have to go.
Let's do this. New York is starting off on New York Governor Kathy Hochul is developing a media literacy tool for kids. So I think we're going to have to get Mr. Orwell in here, and the Ministry of Truth is come to New York for children. She is going to have literacy training for kids so they can determine what's true and what's not true. Of course, they will determine what's true and not true. But let's listen a little bit to what she had to say about the media literacy thing. Cut 7.
Today I'm directing the Director of Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Services to develop media literacy tools for K-12 in our public schools. This will teach students and even teachers to help understand how to spot conspiracy theories and misinformation, disinformation, and online hate. Start talking about what we're seeing out there. Give the teachers the tools they need to help these conversations in school. And by teaching younger New Yorkers about how to discern between digital fact and digital fiction, we can better inoculate them from hatred and the spread of it, and help prepare them for a very fast-moving and often confusing world.
Let me interpret what she's saying.
Please.
We're going to write a book, and we're going to tell kids as young as 5 years old, she said K-12, we're going to tell you what to believe. And by the way, the Democratic Party is the only party you should believe. Everybody else is false. Everybody else is putting out misinformation. Everybody else is putting out conspiracy theories that are not true. Ray, in one sense, I'm not surprised by this at all.
No.
Because this has been the modus operandi of the Democratic Party, the White House, and all the people who are pulling the strings in the White House. Terms like misinformation, terms like threat to democracy, they have put that out there, and it's my contention that everything that they accuse the right of, they are guilty of themselves.
It seems like, I feel like every day this week I've used this term Orwellian, but every day there's a new example of it. What is more Orwellian than the governor of a major state saying there's going to be a ministry of truth? Mm. We're going to tell you what to believe, what not to believe. We're going to tell you who to listen to, which is us and our supporters. We're going to tell you who to reject. We're going to tell you what not just to believe, but what to reject as a conspiracy. I mean, they got good practice on this during the COVID, right? Mm-hmm. During the pandemic. With the lockdowns and the stuff about the vaccine and all, I mean, they got good practice at telling people what to believe and what not to believe. This is counter to democracy. It's counter to the whole notion of freedom of thought. I thought we were supposed to believe in a marketplace of ideas. Here we've got the governor of New York wanting to tell the kids, this is what is truth, this is what is not truth, and you're to believe what we tell you to believe and reject what we tell you to reject. That's really dangerous. It is, Fred and Steve, it's Orwellian.
Yeah.
I'm more concerned with their labeling hate speech because, of course, you know, we've been labeled as hate mongers for believing that marriage is between a man and a woman and that there's only one gender, or two genders. And so that's going to be indoctrinated into our kids as well. So it's not just the misinformation and the conspiracy theories. It's truth itself, I think, that they're going to be challenging.
You know, one of the things that I see happening is that part of the curriculum will be newscasts from MSNBC. Because she's going to say MSNBC is the network you should trust, Ray. So just believe everything that emanates from them.
And they're going to put a big red X over Fox News or any, quote, conservative network.
Yeah. Well, it goes right back to what we were talking about. Parents are going to have to make some decisions about where they send their kids. I think it's one of the reasons why, and I think parents, it started, I think, in Virginia and has only grown since then. We're seeing a huge movement towards homeschooling.
Yes.
It's not just the pandemic. It's a huge movement towards homeschooling and also the number of Christian schools that are starting out there because parents are realizing the agenda of the, and I know there are exceptions, folks. I always want to draw. There are great Christian teachers in the public school system.
Sure.
But the system right. has become very corrupted, and parents are going to have to make choices. I've seen in my 25 years plus since I've come here, a huge shift away from a realization of what's going on, the political agenda of the public school system, and that parents are realizing I've got to rescue my kids, not to mention academic standards as well.
The takeaway from today, folks, homeschool your kids and then send them to a Christian college.
There you go.
There
Preach.
You go. All right. Hey, guys, have a wonderful Thanksgiving. And folks, to you listening out there, I hope you have a wonderful time with family. If you're having to travel safely. And stay tuned. You can take American Family Radio wherever you're going. Just download the app. All right. Thanks to Steve and to Ray and to Brent. Thanks so much. And we'll see you again. More great programming all through the weekend here on American Family Radio. We'll see you again soon.